Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett. You're tuned into CorbettReport.com on this 19th day of July 2013. And today we're honored to be joined on the line by our old friend Larkin Rose of LarkinRose.com. Larkin, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on today.
It's great to be on.
All right, Larkin. Well, as I say, it is great to have you back on board today for another conversation. And so I hope you will already be familiar to most of my listeners from our previous conversations or the previous times I've played clips of your excellent and informative videos on my own podcast and vodcast. If not, I hope people will go to LarkinRose.com and avail themselves of the resources there to find out more about your work and, of course, your seminal book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, which lays out in great detail why people should not be statists. But and today we are going to be following up on that and talking more about statism generally. So before we do so, again, I hope statism will be a word and a concept that will be familiar to my listeners, as we have talked about it before on the program. But for those who are not familiar, and just to make sure we are all operating from the same playbook or reading from the same hymn book, if you will, why don't you tell us what statism is in your own words?
Well, quite simply, a statist is somebody who believes in having a state. And I know a lot of people who want a sort of small state who don't like being called statists, but I call them statists anyway. Like, if you believe in a god, you're a deist. If it's a little god, you're still a deist. So I apply the same thing to a state. If you want a little state, you're just a little statist. So basically, anybody who wants government, which is almost everyone in the world, although that's slowly changing, to me, it's mutually exclusive. You're an anarchist or you're a statist. Those are the choices. They're different flavors of statist, but you're either one or the other.
Well, one would venture to say there's different flavors of anarchism as well. But the point is sure. Well taken. There is there are gradations of statism, but still there is that that category. Either you believe in there should be government or you don't. And unfortunately, as you say, the vast majority of the human population at this point still can't even conceive that there is anything outside of statism, which is why the word statism is hardly ever used, because you don't need a word for something if it is your entire reality. So right. Fish probably don't have a word for water. So so absolutely, statism, the belief that that there should be a government, that we need a government. Let's put this in a context, because you write The Most Dangerous Superstition, and the point of that book is well taken. Of course, the idea that that there is this superstition that people have, that there is this thing called authority, which they can somehow magically summon and assign to people who don't have it individually, but have it when they put on the garb of, you know, government, acting in that name for some reason. And this is certainly an interesting idea, but I want to play with that concept a little bit today, because superstition, of course, is something that generally in our everyday vernacular has a bit of a negative connotation, and most people understand that a superstition is something that's a little bit ridiculous, and people, for example, who wear lucky socks and the like, probably deep down already know that their lucky socks aren't really going to protect them from anything. It's just something that they psychologically convince themselves of, and even if they truly believed in it, it wouldn't take much in the way of scientific experimentation to show that their lucky socks are not in fact lucky, and that would of course undermine their superstition. But I think the statist delusion is something a little bit more thoroughgoing than a superstition. I would venture to say it's more analogous to a religion, in that there are institutions, entire institutions, ways of life and ways of operating and conducting oneself in the world that have built up around this concept of government. And that makes it something, I think, more insidious and more difficult to conquer. So one can imagine many ways that that one could analogize statism to a religion, but let's see if we can explore some of those ideas. This is such a broad topic. I don't know where we want to begin with this, but maybe we can examine some of the parallels that one might see. For example, the invocation of the Holy Trinity and the executive, the legislative, and the holy judicial. And other such things that we see interestingly paralleled between some of the major religions and government itself. What's your take on this idea that perhaps this is a type of religion?
Yeah, I was going to say that for years I thought it was a really good analogy to compare government to religion, And only a few years ago did I realize it's not an analogy. It is a religion in every way. It's not just sort of like one. It has a superhuman deity, government, that has rights that mortals don't. It issues commands, and if you disobey, you're a sinner, and you deserve to be punished. It doesn't play by the rules of mortals. It isn't restricted by the rules that apply to mortals. And the faithful, the true believers, they have great faith in these bizarre rituals that somehow act as the communication between the higher power, government, and the people. And in this case, it's legislation and appointments and elections, and they dress up and have these grandiose halls and do these weird things, and then they say, ta-da, now I represent government. I know I just look like a person, but I don't just have the rights of a person because I represent the magical deity called government. And so I'm allowed to demand your money and boss you around and hurt you if you disobey me. Not on my own. I'm not acting on my own. I'm acting on behalf of government. And it has commandments called laws. And these laws aren't just the threats of humans. They are decrees from something superhuman. And so all you good people out there should bow to this deity. And if you want the world fixed, this is what you go to. This is what you pray to fix the world. And we give you certain rituals of how to pray to it and when you're supposed to pray to it. And, you know, we have election day instead of one day every week because this deity, I guess, is busy enough. He doesn't want to be bothered every week. So you have to wait a couple years and then you can go into the booth and you can kneel if you want, or you can stand, I guess, and pray to the God to make the world what you wish it was and to save you from all the uncertainties of reality. And it sounds like a joke, but it isn't. The only reason people don't recognize it as a religion is because they all believe it. And so they don't recognize it as faith because they all so much believe that it's real that it doesn't feel like faith to them. I mean, I refer to government as the God that people actually believe in. You know, the building they go to on Sunday, well, they're constantly disobeying the commands of that and they don't seem to care and they don't expect to be smitten for committing sins against that deity. But they totally expect to be smitten if they get caught committing sins against state by breaking the law and being a criminal. So it really isn't, to me, it's not an analogy anymore. It's just the same thing by a different name.
I think you're exactly right. And I would venture to say that anyone who has attempted to argue against statism and argue from outside of that system would have a similar experience of this as a religion. But as you say, people who are involved in this religion and who regularly pray to the God of government probably cannot even conceive of how this could be a religion. It is interesting, and there are so many parallels again that I think are interesting to explore. I mean, just take, for example, in the Republican system or in the most democratic systems, of course, we have the executive, usually a president or prime minister, which I guess we could analogize, if we want to take it that far, to not the God, obviously, of the system, but perhaps something like the Pope. It's
just a Pope.
The highest intermediary that we can have between ourselves and God directly. But then what does that make God in the system? What is the God of government?
Well, that's the weirdest thing, because government is the least rational, most insane religion ever. Because on the one hand, Pope Obama would never say, I, as just me, I'm allowed to come take your stuff and boss you around. No, he says, as a representative of this thing called government. But if you say, you know, in a normal church, you say, well, who are you representing? Well, there's a big deity somewhere else. You can't see him. Take my word for it. I represent him. But when it comes to the government God, they don't even pretend. They talk as if there's this thing called government they represent. But if you say, well, what is it? Like, can you point at it? Because it seems like it's just you guys. You guys issue threats and hurt us if we disobey. but you use this weird language as if you're representing something that you can't point to and nobody can describe called government. And so instead of threats, you call it laws. And all of their terminology is designed to make to put up this weird impression that, you know, it looks like we're just people doing this, but we're not. We're agents of a magical thing called authority, so we're allowed to do this. And the thing is, if you the reason why I say it's the least sane religion ever is because it's at least difficult to disprove the existence of some super being on a different plane of existence, because you can't just point there and say, look, it's not there. You know, whether it is, it may be just as difficult to prove it, but it's tough to disprove it. But in the case of government, it's really easy to prove that it's not there. And that's, you know, that's the whole point of my book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, is to demonstrate that this isn't even a deity that may or may not exist on some other plane. The doctrine people are taught is just patently absurd. And the only reason anybody believes it is because they have it pounded in their heads day in and day out from, you know, the time they know how to read, just about. And a bunch of examples of that are like consent of the governed. No, there isn't such thing. If it's consent, it's voluntary. If it's being governed, it's not. And, well, they represent us. Okay, they represent us by doing a lot of things that we don't have the right to do. And they represent us by bossing us around and taking our money. Like, I bet if I went to my neighbor and bossed him around and took his money and said, I'm representing you, he would say, what? What a stupid thing to say. But we're taught these absurdities to try to mangle into people's heads the perception that there really is this magical superhuman thing called government that's legitimate. And all of the excuses are logically insane, literally. Representative government, consent of the governed, the notion that we can delegate to somebody else a right that none of us had to begin with. And it's all, without all these lies, the entire myth of government falls apart. But we're just trained to not think about them. So we don't see this. Not only is this a religion, it's the dumbest religion ever.
That's well put. And it that brings up a remarkably interesting point, because when we look at the authority of where this supposed authority supposedly comes from, we can see that the development of that idea throughout history has been deeply intertwined with the development of religious thought as well. So that if you go back a few thousand years, basically people were worshiping or told to worship emperors as God on earth. And eventually that morphed into the divine right of kings, so that still the basis of government was God, and it was directly coming from the religious root, and that was what gave the king the right to order people around. Eventually, of course, when we arrive at the modern era, there has been that removal, that gradual removal of the state from the church explicitly, meaning that that yes, all we're left with now is this vague notion of the collective will, and there's some sort of collective consent of the governed, as you say, that makes this possible, which is even more ephemeral and even more difficult to understand. But trust us, it's there, which is a bizarre way, because it is exactly like religion, but you've removed the religious element from it. So now it's right. What is it even based on anymore?
Right, exactly. I mean, I think most people, and I used to think this, I think most people think, oh, divine right of kings, that's ridiculous. Now we're learned and we have democratic republics, and we've gone backwards from divine right of kings. Because if somebody says, oh, by the way, God says I get to rule you, I'm probably not going to believe them, but it's a little bit difficult to disprove unless I can, like, get a hold of God on the phone and say, did you really tell him he's allowed? So at least it's hard to disprove. It seems almost infinitely unlikely. But in this case, the actual given excuse is, we have the right to rule you because you decided we did, even if you didn't vote for us, and even if you oppose everything we do to you. And again, getting in all the weird rhetoric. And to me, the most insane is, we are the government, which you hear everywhere. And I ask somebody, wait, do you really not notice that there's a group of people over there? You're not over there. You're right here. They are over there. They issue threats, and they call them laws. And they issue demands for money, and they call it taxes. And if you disobey, they send men with guns to hurt you. Now, are you really incapable of distinguishing between yourself and them? Like the carjacker who says, give me your car. Nobody says, I am the carjacker, because it would be utterly insane. But people say we are the government, which is so patently loony. And if people just step back, no, you're not. They boss you around and control you, and they hurt you if you disobey. And if you haven't noticed that yet, like, what world are you living in?
It's exactly right. And again, it's just so blatant to people who have had these types of discussions from the outside. But again, for people living inside that system, it would probably be like we're talking another language right now, for all intents and purposes. And that raises another point, because again, when you're dealing with a deeply held religious conviction, it can be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to ever really get someone to question those deeply held religious convictions, to look at it from that outside perspective. And that really raises the question then, if we're dealing with a superstition, then perhaps all it requires is a bit of ridicule, or at the very least it can be contained, because, so few people would fall for it anyway. But if you're dealing with a religion, then I think it requires a completely different tack when you're trying to show people the religion and convince them that the deity that they're worshiping doesn't exist. That can be an extremely damaging thing for people's worldview, and something that they'll obviously protect quite viciously. How do we get past people's defenses on this subject? How do we show them that this is a religion and that they don't necessarily need to worship this god, that they can in fact stop believing in it and it will simply cease to exist?
Right. Well, one, it's always the challenge to get past a faith-based belief. And one of the biggest giveaways that the belief in government is a complete blind faith religious belief is the way people respond. And I mean, there's several very easy, simple lines of questioning that make the whole mythology fall apart in all of like 2 minutes. But the dead giveaway that it's faith, that it's doctrine that people are trained to accept on faith and just ignore all rationality, is the responses they give. Like, one very easy line of questioning is, can you give somebody else a right that you don't have? And everybody says, well, no, of course not. Well, how about you and your buddy? Can the two of you give someone else a right that neither of you had? Well, no. And it only takes a couple more questions to get to, well, how did Congress get rights that you don't have? We couldn't have given it to them. And, if this was a rational, if this was just a thought out conclusion, people would say, oh yeah, no, they can't possibly have rights. Never mind. But almost nobody does that immediately. They freak out and they start coming up with the weirdest justifications, and they get emotional and they get angry or they get defensive or they run away. Because it's not like you're describing to them how a carburetor works. Nobody like gets emotional and offended if you say, well, a carburetor works like this. It's that you're challenging something that deep down inside, they know it's blind faith. And they can feel it really quickly after a few questions. And that is existentially terrifying for them. So they freak out. So I often say that, when it comes to the actual issue, what I do is explain things that every 5-year-old should understand instinctively. But 99% of the problem is getting around the weird psychological manglings that people's brains do to hang on to their paradigm and to ignore and try to twist logic, and just very simple logic. I mean, just the concept of, self-ownership. I'm in charge of me. I own me. You don't. So you don't get to steal my stuff. And you're in charge of you. So it's not okay for me to attack you. And everybody goes, yeah, that's fine. And that also means it's not okay for somebody calling himself a politician to boss you around and take your money. Well, no, we need that. It's necessary and we vote for it. And they are us. And they have our consent, sort of, except they lock us up if we disobey. And they go into these weird mental contortions instead, and I did too, you know, I want to loudly confess, I was a statist for many years, and I did all of these bizarre twistings to try to make it so that government could be a real thing. And I wanted a quote-unquote limited government, you know, within the Constitution, but I still did these mental gymnastics to try to pretend that things like servant government aren't completely insane concepts. Yeah, that guy who bosses you around and takes your money, he's your servant. No, he isn't. But it shows how much it's a blind faith thing that people react so completely irrationally and emotionally, and they get offended and they get angry, and because it's not just logic. They didn't come to this belief through reasoning and evidence and logic. They came there by having a blind faith belief smashed into their heads starting before they could even talk. And that's why it's so hard to get it back out, because of that, all those walls of irrational faith in the way of logic.
Exactly right. And I guess in a way then, to extend the analogy, this puts us in a similar situation as the so-called new atheists of Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens and their ilk. And I suppose what defines the so-called new atheists from, I suppose, old atheists is the kind of they almost proselytize the atheism. They're trying to spread the message of atheism to the masses, and so they want to push it at people who would otherwise be resistant to it and openly welcome debate and the like. And that of course, when asked why that would be necessary, I'm sure the new atheists would respond, well, because religion is so destructive and it creates such hatred in people and it results in so much pain and suffering and death. Well, if we were to look at the 20th century, I would argue that by far the most destructive religion that even conceivable would be statism. Even if you were simply to look at the numbers of people who died due to democide, talking about hundreds of millions of people who died at the hands of their own governments that could have conceivably been prevented if people had not imagined governmental authority to exist in the first place. So what can you say about the importance of taking up this crusade and proselytizing against the religion of government?
Yeah, if there's two things here. First of all, if somebody believes in something that isn't real, but their belief doesn't make them attack me, I don't much care. Like, might have an intellectual discussion with them about, like, if they believe there's a magic pink unicorn in their attic, well, okay, I might not bother to try to talk them out of it unless they say, and by the way, my magic pink unicorn told me to kill you. Well, then I would try to talk them out of it. And the magic pink unicorn called government has slaughtered tens of millions or hundreds of millions of human beings and is constantly robbing and attacking and oppressing people, which is why it is the most dangerous superstition. And yeah, in one sense, superstition sort of understates it. But to me, it's just a really, really strong superstition. You know, people with obsessive compulsive disorder who can't leave the room without touching the doorknob 23 times. Like, to them, it is this huge thing inside their head. And to anybody else, it's like, why are you doing that? And so it's a gigantically powerful superstition, which is also known as a religion. But yeah, then the people in it can't see it, and they can't see how destructive it is. And that's why what I try to do in The Most Dangerous Superstition and a lot of what I do is say, I'm not saying that you're evil. You probably know how to be a good person. You probably don't go around robbing your neighbors, but you've been taught to believe something that is twisting your own virtue and your own morality and ending up having you accidentally condoning evil. And which almost everybody on the planet does. And I did for years and years when I was a statist, and I would have vehemently denied it if somebody said that I was advocating mass evil. Well, no, I just want you to be taxed for a military. And okay, so you want me threatened with bodily harm if I don't hand over money to the ruling class? Well, it's for your own good. I believed it. I thought it was perfectly okay because I believed the lie of authority. But I have to throw in, Richard Dawkins is not an atheist. You cannot be an atheist unless you're an anarchist. You can be an anarchist and not be an atheist, but you cannot be an atheist and not be an anarchist, because government is a god, and Richard Dawkins, unfortunately, totally believes in the god called government.
Well, you've just hit on the very premise of my my podcast, and in fact, the opening clip I have lined up is from Noam Chomsky making basically the exact same argument.
Excellent. Woohoo! and I love to call atheists on that because you don't even have to like make an analogy. You can use their exact words, their exact complaints about churches, and just say, well, just change the word church to government, and everything you complain about the churches will not only apply, but will apply a thousandfold to government. Oh, they make you feel bad if they disobey, and you're taught that you'll suffer if you... It's all the same thing. And it's so frustrating that people can so vehemently say, I can prove that your God isn't real, and then make the exact same mistakes they're pointing out while insisting that government is real and legitimate and necessary, and they don't even see it. They don't even notice. And they're so vehemently judgmental about people who believe in God. Oh, it's ridiculous for you to believe in that. There's no evidence for it, and it's absurd, and it's a dangerous belief, and oh, it's time to go vote. And they don't notice that they're doing the exact same thing under a different name.
Absolutely, and it would be funny if it weren't for the incredible destruction and pain and suffering that religion causes. So I hear you on that, and I fully agree. And I think that it's a very, very long uphill battle, I think, waging against this. But I think there will come a time in which it will be self-evident truth to so many people that it will be the 100th monkey, if you will. And I think people will start to get it on a massive level. So that's ultimately what I'm hoping we can work towards when it comes to this religion of statism, and just perhaps pointing out that it is a religion is one step along that path, so that people can actually gain a perspective on it outside of the system that they're just floating along in just by default. A lot to think about with regards to this subject, but Larkin, obviously, I'll direct people to larkinroast.com and to take a look at The Most Dangerous Superstition. But are there any other resources or things that you would point people to in relation to this topic?
Well, there, like, I have a bunch of YouTube videos that are like just a few minutes long that don't try to explain the whole world. They just take one little piece of statist mythology and mess it up in people's heads just to make people uncomfortable. I did a thing called I'm Allowed to Rob You, and then there's If You Were King, because everybody thinks, oh, if I was in charge, things would be great. And just little thing that first step is always the hardest, to get someone to dare to set aside his blind faith long enough to think about things. And, you know, so for me, my most thorough explanation I've ever done is The Most Dangerous Superstition. And I've been thrilled by how many people read that and said, before I read it, I knew that forever I would be a constitutionalist, or I would be a Republican, or I would be a this. And then I read it and dang it, I'm an anarchist. But that first step, and I still don't pretend to know what makes some people choose to look and lots of other people don't look. I don't even know what made me choose to look. To back up enough to say maybe government isn't even legitimate at all. But, you know, as many different ways as I can try to needle people into just thinking rationally for a second about their statist beliefs, because it doesn't take very much to show that it's not at all rational. The belief in government is completely self-contradictory. It's a logical disaster, and it doesn't take anything to prove it. But it takes a lot for people indoctrinated into the faith to dare to think of those literally blasphemous ideas that, no, those people in Washington don't have the right to rule. Their threats aren't laws. They're just threats. Their demands aren't taxes. It's just extortion. And that really feels like heresy, because it is. It is heresy against the God called government. And that scares the heck out of people, and it shuts down their brains. So yeah, that, you know, I'm always happy when I hear somebody say, I watched that video and yeah, it made a point, and then I thought about this and read this, and you know, there's a zillion other people out there. Stefan Molyneux has a bunch of great stuff about it, you know, so I'm not the only one, you're not the only one, there's lots of stuff out there. But to me, what matters is always that first step. is if somebody dares to take a second to say, well, wait, what is the basis of this whole government thing? Because almost everybody who takes that step, they end up where we are, and they completely fall out of the religion.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully at least one more person will do that as a result of this conversation. But I know there will be probably a multitude of adherents to this religion who will want to burn us at the stake for being heretics. So I will humbly suggest that there is also a contact form on LarkinRose.com to direct your hate mail to. So
I love hate mail. I actually really do. And I think a very useful thing. A lot of people express surprise that I'm constantly in the comment section of my YouTube videos arguing with people. And I say it's the main purpose isn't to try to convince the devout statists, although every once in a while somebody admits, well, I thought about it, maybe you had a point. It's that when you argue with someone in the blind faith of statism, they do a way better job of showing how insane it is than I ever could. Because if I said, this is what they believe, people would say, no, that's not what they believe. But when they say it, and I say, see, there, he just said it. This is what the belief in statism is. I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, watching those discussions and watching the weird mental contortions that people go through to try to hang on to their belief in government is very eye-opening. So I actually love hate mail. I love it when people argue with me, and I love it when they try to vehemently, proudly justify the existence of their god, known as government, because the discussion always gets irrational like 2 minutes later, and they start saying the weirdest, most revealing things. And the thing is, I do want to quick add that I now have a huge amount of hope, because I see an acceleration of the people, of the number of people who dare to think about these things, that is just huge. I mean, I've been saying the same thing for 16, 17 years now. And for the first 10, like 3 people paid any attention. And now thousands and thousands of people. And I'm not saying I did that. But I'm saying the number of people able to have this conversation is just hugely exploding. And they're still a minority. But that exponential curve, I don't think it's stopping. I really think the cult of statism is as good as dead. Now, the scary thing is, in the meantime, what will the control freaks do to try to hang on to it? And I'm sure nasty things will happen for a long time to come. But I think the complete unquestioned blind faith in this is starting to fall apart all over the place. And it's only going to go in one direction. You know, I'm not going to one day wake up and say, yeah, government's great again. Never mind. And I don't think you are either.
No, probably not. And again, from my own personal experience and my own story of this, I have to agree with your assessment, because again, this is something that I never really got until a couple of years ago through the work of yourself and others like yourself online who are spreading this message. And you're exactly right. Once you get it, it's pretty much impossible to just shut up and go back to the religious fold. I mean, I think once you've escaped, you've escaped. So exactly right. And there's a lot to think about in this conversation. So hopefully we can return to it in the future. But let's leave it there for today. Larkin Rose, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast.